still going to be scared. How's it going to turn out? How's it going to work out? And the Lord is going to tell you. He's going to nudge you. Sometimes you're going to have to do it afraid. Sometimes you're going to have to get up, and it's not going to feel great. You're not going to be like, yeah, I'm ready to go do that. But the Lord is empowering you to do that. So, and that can come in a lot of things. That can come in sharing the word. That can come in prophecy. Maybe, you know, sometimes even as an adult, I hear a word from the Lord for somebody, but I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I don't feel good about that. Or I know I'm supposed to pray for a person, but I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there. And so I want to encourage you this week, and when you go home, do it afraid. Just because you're afraid, it doesn't mean that God's not calling you to it and that God doesn't have a purpose for it. It's more your fleshly response to what he's calling you to. So just be encouraged in that. But today, I'm going to talk to you about being a runner. Because I know you don't believe it, but you're a runner. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a runner. And here's how I know you're a runner. I know some of you are looking at me like, I am not a runner. Let me tell you. Here's how I know you're a runner. Your body, how it's physically made, has an automatic response, whole system devoted to running or fleeing. I'm a teacher, so I'm going to teach you a little academic first. Your sympathetic nervous system, when you encounter stress, when your body perceives stress, here's some things that physically happen automatically. Your heart rate is going to go up. Your lungs are going to intake more oxygen. Your blood's going to start, your blood pressure is going to go up. Your liver, like, activates stored energy to get your body ready to get out of there. That's your physical response to stress. And so I find that often that's our mind response to stress, to bad things in our life. When something goes wrong, most of the time, you're not going to stick around. You're going to try to get out of there. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is where are you going to run to when that stress comes? Where are you going to go? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you're 13. It's going to happen when you're 16. It's going to happen when you're 18, when you're 26, when you're 35. So let's talk about what it looks like to run. Because you can run a lot of different directions. If I'm trying to make it to the back door back there, I could run straight to the back door. I could run around the church. I could go out the back here. I'll get there, but it kind of looks different each time. So first, I want to head to Luke 15 and verse 11 and talk about the prodigal son. I think somebody mentioned it earlier. But when that stress of life comes, that can be anything. Your home life, friendships, maybe something's not working out at school. Maybe you feel that internal stress. What are you going to do when that happens? And so when we look in the scripture, you can run towards the, like, capital W wrong things. Those things that you're doesn't sit well with your spirit, that you know is not right. When those things come up in your life, you can try to escape to those things. And so I want to read a little bit about the prodigal son here. And so I'm just going to start here in Luke 15:11. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me your share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. He's getting ready to run. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. So in where I felt the Lord lay this on my heart, thinking, okay, what's the prodigal son running from? And I don't know what the Lord laid on my heart is. This feeling of discontentment, because that's going to happen in your life. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're not in the right spot, or sometimes you feel like, I'm not enough of this, and I'm not this. And so when those feelings of discontentment come, you can take the response of the younger son and run to what it says here in the NIV as wild living. those are when you're making those decisions that you know are wrong, and that part of your heart that, you know, when you do something, it's like, maybe not the best decision, or I don't really feel too good about this. That's the Holy Spirit trying to guide you and direct you. And if you're willing to listen, you will hear and you will know, oh, this is probably not for me. This is not what God's calling me to. So when the prodigal son runs to the wrong things, the things that are opposite of God, where does it leave him? It leaves him. He's lost everything that he got from his dad. He needs a job. And so he starts out feeding pigs. And you guys know this, right? I think somebody talked about it earlier. He is so down bad that he is ready to eat whatever the pigs are eating. Doesn't sound like a situation I want to be in. But that's not the end of the story, but I'm going to talk to you about something else first. But more often than not, sometimes you're not running towards the capital W wrong things. Maybe you're just running to normal things, like my friend group, my dreams, my relationship, my hobbies. Those things inherently aren't bad. God wants you to have friends, and he wants you to have a dream, and he's given you dreams, and he wants you to be good at things. But I want to talk about when those stresses of life come, even sometimes running to those things to escape the feeling, the pressure, that's not going to put you and set you up for where God, for what God has for you. And so I'm going to read a little bit out of Exodus 2, verse 11. I'm going to scroll there. So Moses, everybody knows Moses, part the Red Sea, all that jazz. But before that, Moses, also a runner. You didn't know there was so much running in the Bible. It's not prophetic. You don't have to start physically running. So Moses, you know the story, sent down the river in the basket. The Egyptians, they take him into the Pharaoh's house. He grows up there. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked one of them, "What is wrong? Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And the man said, "Who made you the ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptians?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." And when Pharaoh, I'm making sure I'm reading that. Okay. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. So sometimes the stress in your life comes from your own choices and your own actions. Moses messed up big. He did something that was wrong, and he had that stress of, okay, what's going to be the consequence of this? What's people going to think of me? I messed up. I missed the mark. And Moses runs, and he runs into the wilderness. He's not necessarily wasting his time on wrong living. He's not going out and doing things that he shouldn't do, but he's not where God is supposed to be. And sometimes our friendships and our hobbies, when we run to those things, it's not that it's a bad thing to do. It's not that you're just completely out of the will of God, but when those things replace God and the peace and the love and the care that you get from him, that's when it becomes the wrong thing to run to. And so Moses leaves everything he has, and he goes to live in Midian. So I just wrote down, the problem comes when we have that response to flee, when we're not prioritizing faith, when we're prioritizing our friendships and our relationships and our hobbies and the things that we care about. And that is what we are using to kind of mask that feeling of inadequacy or that feeling of hurt, because that is only going to just kind of cover it up. It's not going to fix the problem. And so we kind of have two options. You can run to the wrong things. You can run to the things that are, they're not bad, but they're not going to fix your problem. Or we can run towards God. And that's kind of where I want to plant today. And obviously the Bible is filled with people who run towards God in the midst of their circumstances. And so I want to talk about Daniel. So we're going to go to Daniel 6. Okay, Daniel 6, we're going to read a few verses here. What you should know, I'm not going to read the whole story, but basically Daniel's a man of God, and the king makes this law with the help of some adversaries that, with some advisors, that no one can worship any king but him. He says, if they worship anybody else, they're going to be in trouble. And so Daniel's there, and he's a man of God. He has a decision to make. The stress has come. If I keep doing what I know that I'm supposed to do, I'm going to die. That seems like a pretty big stress to me. So what do I do? And Daniel makes a different decision. Daniel doesn't flee. Daniel doesn't run to, you know, talk to and figure out where his, Daniel, he runs to God. That's his first step. And so here it says in Daniel 6:10, let me find it. Now, when Daniel learned of this decree, that the decree had been published, so when he learned that anyone who was praying to a god outside of the king was going to be killed, he went upstairs in his room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So what does it look like when the stress of your life happens, when you feel let down, when you feel hurt, when you feel inadequate, when you feel that hole that's in your heart that we all have, where do you run? How do you run towards God? Because you don't want to run towards the wrong things. We see that leaves you kind of with nothing in a bad situation. Where in Moses' situation, it leads him kind of out to the wilderness where he has left behind his family and all that he knows. What does it look like to run to God? And I think Daniel gives us a good example. A good first step is prayer. And that's why you got to become comfortable praying with the Lord in your own time. And it doesn't have to be this fancy thing. When you reach out to God, he reaches back to you. And so it says, so they went to the king and, so then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying, asking God for help. So he went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Oops, sorry, I'm not going to read that part. I'm going to skip down to 16. So now they found him. Remember what the consequences of his praying? So let's think about that. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. And a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating or without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lion. They have not hurt me, because I am found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. And the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wounds were found on him, because he had trusted in God. Daniel ran to the Lord in his trouble. When that stress of life came, his first response was to pray. And that's what I urge you to do. That's what I urge you to learn to practice as a student, because the stress of life, it keeps coming. You have things, you have real big problems right now. And I know that. When I was talking last night about being broken and needing the Lord to fix that, that's, you know, there are other times in your life where you're going to feel broken. I came here as a camper, experienced, you know, the love of God and the Holy Spirit changing my life. But when I was in college, there were things that happened and I felt broken again. And when you have those things, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And thankfully, I'd heard Josh Button talking about how they sat, as a family and prayed, totally silent. I never heard anybody doing that. And in my brokenness, in my bad time, I thought, well, I know I can't run towards the wrong thing. That's going to be downward spiral, explosion. That's not going to be good. And I had this tug in my heart. Like, obviously, the only person who can fix this is God. I know that. But what do I do? And so I would sit in my dorm room, totally quiet, and I'd pray. And the Lord healed my heart and healed my situation so much in that moment. And so that's why it's important to come to these things. I wrote down here, how do you run towards God? You pray. You ask God into your situation. And if you don't have the words for it, you say something to the tune of, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I don't know what the next step is. I need you in this. It doesn't have to be this long extended thing, but you pray and God will meet you there. God wants to move and do good things in your life. Amen. But he's not going to just steamroll over you. That's not who he is. It's not his character. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I need your help in this. You have to make the choice to run towards him. And you also do that when you read your Bible. I know, everybody's going to tell you read the Bible. There's some pretty wild stuff that happens in the Bible. Do you know that one time Jesus cast demons out of a person into some pigs, like 400 pigs, and they all ran off of a cliff? Like, there's some cool stuff in there. Read it. Listen to it. There are plenty of podcasts and good speakers out there that are speaking the word. So that's your second line of defense. You're praying. You're reading your Bible. And then you got to find a community. I know people tell you this all the time, who you hang out with will affect what you say, what you do, how you feel. And this is not a message of, like, never have any friends who are not in church all the time and things like that. But just be mindful of who you're letting speak into your life and who you're spending your time with. Because if those people don't believe the same things that you believe and don't know that they're also a son or daughter of the Lord, it's not going to push you towards God. It's going to push you towards those other things. And so that's why you run towards God. And the reason why it's important to practice this now is because if you can learn when something big comes up, when you mess up big, or somebody else's actions hurt you, or something happens in your life that makes you want to run, whatever you're thinking about now, if you can learn, okay, my first step, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to see if there's anything in the Bible about this instance, this my situation in here. And I'm going to reach out to the people around me, and I'm going to try to fight this thing out. Because if you learn that now, then you practice that. I practice that with them when I'm 14 and when I'm 17, when I'm 19. When you're out of your house, when you're in college, when you're working, it becomes much easier to do. It's harder to learn how to do this stuff when you're in your late 20s, when you're in your 30s. That's why everybody works so hard to talk to you about this now. because it only gets more difficult to make the choice to run to God. And so that is really what the Lord has just laid on my heart, this idea of you got to practice this now. This has got to become your first step now so that when you are in college and when you are a young adult, that's your first step. Like when I was in college, I grew up in the church. I knew the Lord could work. And when I felt broken, I knew that it wasn't going to be solved by going to the frat party that was at my college campus that weekend and just doing whatever I wanted to do. Or just calling my friends and being like, hey, this is la, 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 la. Like, I knew that I needed God to fix that situation. And that is something that you can carry with you your whole life. So make it your first step now and think about where those other people were led to. We leave the prodigal son, he's with the pigs. Moses is in the desert. And the beautiful thing about God is that's not the end of their story. So if you find yourself here today and you're thinking, man, I've been running, and maybe I'm not running to things that are wrong, but I'm not running towards God either. The Lord is, he's still in control of those stories. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Moses, then I'm going to pass it off to Benjamin. Moses runs into the wilderness. Story of the burning bush, it's going to come up. Moses is out there in the wilderness, and God meets him in the form of a burning bush and speaks to him and kind of, I feel like the Lord can be super direct sometimes with me. That's how sometimes how I perceive him. He's kind of like, okay, you got about 5 minutes to pity party yourself and then get back out there. That's how he talks to me. He's like, we're really direct with things. And the Lord kind of tells Moses, like, Moses, this isn't you. This is not where you're supposed to be. I have good plans for your life, and I need you. So I need you to go back. And that's what Moses does. Then we get the story with the Red Sea, leads the Egyptians into the wilderness, out of Pharaoh's care. So it's not too late to turn around. It's not too late to make the decision today. Hey, I want to make it a priority to run towards God. I want to be cognitively thinking about how that's my first step. When I want to run, I'm going to run towards him. And so I'm going to let B kind of take it from here, talk to y'all a little bit more about this, but that's what I want you to kind of think in your mind today. Like, how can I make that my practice?
Amen, amen. Cool. Okay. Before I get started, I got, this is Caden, right? He's yours. He's 2 months?
2 months.
2 months. Caden, I know you can't hear, buddy, but hold on to this for him. Caden, you're valuable. And you were made in the image of God for a particular purpose. And somebody may try to take that value away from him, right, at some point. But he's going to know exactly who he is, just like what Pastor Dan spoke about last night, knowing, being anchored in the fact that he is a son of the Most High God, made just in his image. So you're valuable. He's talking back to me. Okay, thank you. I couldn't go any farther without thanking this house and the things that you all do and the sacrifices that you make. They've changed my life and the life of thousands, and it literally thousands have been just radically altered in the wake of your obedience, and I am forever grateful. Thank you so much. It means a lot to be back here this morning. Thank you. Okay. Who in here is going into or is currently in middle school? Middle school. Okay. Let me see. High school? Okay. Okay, cool. So you guys are being all too quiet. I've been around too many middle schoolers and high schoolers to think that you would be quiet with me this morning. So I grew up in a church that when you heard something that you believed, or you heard something and it resonated with you, meaning like it stuck with you good, would you say? Anybody know? Amen. Okay. So I need some middle schoolers and some high schoolers this morning to get on board with me. Can we do that? Anybody? Can I get some head nods from the back row? Where are my boys? Where are they at? Yeah. Right. Can we say amen? Amen. Amen. If that's too churchy for you, maybe I like you. Period. Can anybody, at some point, somebody got to give me a period, right? Because period means nothing else needs to be added, right? Period. God is good. Period. Period. Right? Somebody, okay, amen, amen. Period. I like it. I like it. I like it. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. So stick with me here. Somebody real quick, turn to your neighbor and say, the devil is capping. The devil is capping. Okay, the devil is capping. Now, somebody turn back there and tell somebody over the age of 35 that he said, the devil is still a liar. The devil is still a liar. That's what that means, right? Capping. Okay, maybe double capping. Could be. The devil is still a liar, and the devil will try to get in your head and tell you that when you've run, like Madison was just talking about, that you've run too far, that you can't come back, okay? That God would like nothing to do with you because you've gone too far, okay? Same story, right? We just heard prodigal son. Let's run it back. Luke 15, 11 through 16. And we're going to work through the story real quick. So, Jesus is talking, he's telling a couple of different stories here, but this one is the parable of the lost son. And a lot of people just call this the prodigal son, like there's just one of them, but there's two brothers in the story, right? Anybody know the story? There's two brothers, one leaves, one goes home. I like to call it the story of the prodigal sons, two, plural, or the lost sons. So Luke 15, 11, it starts like this. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About this time, his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. Somebody say hungry, period, right? He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. What I want you to know today is that there is a God in heaven that loves you, a God that is for you, not against you, and a God that is looking desperately for you to turn from where you've been running and come home. Somebody say, come home. Come home. All he's saying this morning is come home. It's a story that has been told many times to campers from this pulpit. And it is, you're not too far. The decision that you made was not too bad. The things that you did were not too wrong that they have separated you from the love of God. I like it. I like it. I like it. But believe it. Don't just say period like it's a joke. Believe it. The decisions that you, and I know what's going to go through your head, what some of you are thinking. Oh, but you don't know my story. You don't know what happened last semester. You're like, you don't know how bad it got. You don't know what it's like when I go home. You don't know that thing that I did. I'm disgusted with myself. How could God still love me, right? You don't know how bad it is. I don't ever feel like God is really gonna, like Pastor Dan was saying last night, even like me, let alone love me. I want to encourage you, like Madison was just talking about, to read your Bible. Because when you read it, almost every single story that you come to, the central character is messed up, jacked up, acting up. Okay? Every single character that God uses, that God loves, is way messed up, right? And the Lord still chooses to love them and use them and transform their lives, right? So read your Bible, because every character that you come to is all messed up, right? Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old, right? Definitely too old to have kids. He was 100. That's not crazy. That's nasty, right? Isaiah was too young. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. The list goes on and on. Samson was a womanizer. David was a murderer and had an affair. Moses had a stutter and he was a murderer. Who else? Rahab was a prostitute. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. Jonah ran from God. Martha worried about everything. You can keep going. Timothy, ulcer. Paul, too religious. I'll say it. Peter denied Christ. Lazarus was dead. Dead. Isaiah preached naked. Imagine that next week at youth, right? He preached naked. Guys, the point is, every single one of those characters, those real people who God used, had ran from God the wrong direction at some point. They had messed up. They had done something wrong. Their story is our story. They're human. All of us have missed the mark. All of us have fallen short of the glory. Y'all know that scripture? Yes, you do. You have good youth pastors. I know them. All of us have missed that mark. All that God is saying today is come home. Somebody say, come home. You can always come home. I don't care how bad it is. Friends, I don't care how far you get, because the beauty of this story becomes this. Luke 15, 17 through 24. We're going to read. When he finally came to his senses, he figured something out. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. I jumped down there. Because my favorite verse is verse 20. You see that? Okay. So he returned home. He was practicing his speech on his walk back home. You can only imagine what the first lost son, the prodigal son, looked like, maybe smelled like, right? After hanging out with the pigs and feeding the pigs, he was dirty. He was muddy. He had basically told the father that he wished that the father was dead. Because when you get an inheritance, that's usually when the family dies, right? So him at the beginning of this story saying, can I have my share of the inheritance, was saying, I would basically be okay if you died. I want what I would have just for the money's sake. And it says, check this. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. How many of you guys know that in order to see something a long way off, you have to be looking really hard. You can't see something that's a long way off by accident, right? Especially your boy's got bad eyes, right? I would have to really be looking hard to see something that's a long way off. Let that picture be painted in your head just a little bit. In my eyes, the Father is sitting every night just scanning the horizon, not mad. For the Son that said, I wish you were dead. And the Father's there just waiting, just looking. Can I see him? Is today the day? Oh, man, I can't wait till he gets home. Maybe he'll come home. Maybe. I mean, he ran a far way. He went to a distant country. But it says that the Father was looking, and he saw him when he was a long way off. Friends, can I tell you this morning, if you feel like you've run too far, as soon as you decide to run the right direction, he's looking. He's ready. He's waiting. And he's not angry. What happens? Keep reading the scripture. It says that he was filled with love and compassion, and he ran towards his son. Sometimes you're not strong enough to run all the way back. Most of the time, if you've run the opposite direction, you're not going to be strong enough to run all the way back. Great news is, he runs way faster than you. The Father runs way faster than you. All he's looking for is for your heart to turn, to change, and you to turn and start heading back towards the Father. And as soon as you can make that pivot and turn back towards the Father, he runs at you lightning quick. And he's way faster than you. And the first thing that he is going to meet you with is love and compassion. He's going to embrace you. He's going to kiss you. And it gets even better. He's ready to throw a party. Verse 22 says, but his father said to the servants, quick, bring my finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the fattened calf. We're turning up. My son has returned. You can go as far away from God. You can make all the wrong decisions, right? But as soon as you turn and come back to him, he's looking. He's looking really hard for you to come home. Somebody say, come home. You can always come home. Nothing is going to separate you from that love. The story doesn't end there, though. Okay? This is for somebody else in the room. Somebody say, the other brother. The other brother. I love it. Luke 15, 28 through 32. The older brother was angry. He would not go in. He wouldn't go into the party, right? His father came out and begged him. His father was looking for him too. He replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf? His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. See, this brother never left. This brother was in the father's house the whole time. So there's some of you today that it didn't click with you when Madison said that you've been running away from God, because you haven't been running away from God. This brother represents religion, right? Maybe you've been checking all the boxes, doing all the right things. You're here every Sunday. You're here every Wednesday. You're helping volunteer. Whatever it is. But you don't feel like you've necessarily turned and ran away from God. You're in God's house. Somebody say the other brother. I haven't heard any amens recently. Period. I heard it. Maybe you don't feel like you've gone that far, but how many know that this brother was still separated from the Father? That even though he was in the house the whole time, he didn't know his relationship to the Father. The Father said, all that I've had has been yours this entire time. Maybe you don't feel like you've turned and ran away, but you're not growing in your relationship while you've still been in the house. Either way, the Father has to remind this brother that he was always his son. Everything that he owns is his. Religion wants to give you like a set of rules that we have to live by rather than remembering the relationship, right? The son thought, oh, I've been working for you, so I should have earned a party. I did all the right things. The other brother, he just left. My other brother went and took all the money and wasted it. And you're celebrating him? I've done all the right things. I've done all the right things. Man, I have a good friend group, and I'm in church every time the doors are open, and I don't cuss like my friends do, and I don't listen to bad music. I've done all the right things. Guys, I'm not against that. I'm glad you're in church every time the doors are open. I'm glad that you're making good decisions to live a pure life. That is such a valuable thing. Hold on to that. If you identify with the other brother, hold on to that, please. But understand that following the steps, the list of rules that religion gives you is not going to turn out in your party. What the Father has to tell this brother is, we have to celebrate because your other brother was lost and now he's found. He was dead and he's come back to life. But we could have celebrated you the whole time. You always had sonship, like Pastor Dan talked to you about last night. You always have been my son. Everything that I have was already yours. So that's it, team. Either you felt like the first brother, like you've turned and you've ran the wrong direction, and all he's waiting on is for a change of your heart to turn and face him. And like I said, he's way faster than you. He's way faster than you. As soon as you turn, he's sprinting. The Father in this story, he broke all of the social norms. How many of y'all know that they wore different clothes in Bible times? They didn't wear like camo and stuff, right? They had like robes. The Father would have had to have hiked up his robe. And he would have been so excited that he wouldn't have cared. And he was ready to sprint towards the brother coming down the road. He was just as excited and hopeful when he looked around the party and he didn't see the other brother. Let me go get my other son. He's just waiting for you. Listen to me, students. He was just waiting for you to turn towards him. So regardless of which brother you identify with, regardless of where you're at today, it doesn't matter how far you feel like you've gone, you cannot separate yourself far enough from the love of the Father. You can always come home. Okay? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for being willing to accept us back home, for always being a loving and compassionate Father. The scripture says that the first thing that the Father felt was love and compassion. So let us bury that in our hearts today. Let the seed of that word be planted in our hearts today to remind us that maybe a year from now, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 50 years from now, when we feel distant from God, when we feel like we've made a decision that pushes us far from the Father, that we can always come home. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for being a loving and compassionate Father that is always most concerned about our relationship with you. And Lord, I pray for these students in here right now. Lord, I pray that middle and high school students at this camp this week would know their identity in Christ. We've talked about it all week, but that your identity is defined by the Word of God and by the battle that He's already won, and that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. That we were made in His image, and no one can change that, not even us. So, Father, for those who do feel distant, for those who do feel like they've been running, we just pray that their hearts would be changed and they would turn back to you today. And we celebrate with the students who are turning back to you today. We thank you. You're so gracious. You are so good, and you are so kind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.